Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thursday edition, PFT Live, and we begin today with some of the most important news.
This is so
anywhere.
Good.
Beach football, big meathead Gronk. No shirts and skins. Skins
I love it.
And skins.
Edelman,
tackling guys. Live
Amendola.
Tackling. Live tackling in the sand.
Wow. I love it. I saw a little of this the other day on Brady's Instagram because his kids were there and all of that as well. It's really funny. It's great to see the guys having a good time. They're in good shape, right? And you know, it shows you too, Mike. The one thing that's there's a real bond between those guys. It shows you that there was a closeness up there in New England around that
yes.
group more than
you
people
mean,
give credit. Yeah.
You mean something that spontaneously happened while a camera was on? You mean that kind of natural, open, honest, authentic bond? I mean that's the problem, folks. I mean let's just recognize how these things work. It's staged. It's for the purposes of putting it on social media so everybody can say, look how funny, look how awesome. They're all friends. They're all happy. They're all happier than you. You should be less happy because they're more happy. I mean, that's one of the problems, frankly, in today's society. People see everybody else having a good time and they become more miserable. I'm serious.
I don't disagree
with that. They
become
more miserable because they think everybody else is having a great time when all this shit is staged
for the purposes
of making the rest of us feel like we're not as good and we're not as special and we're not in the same shape and we don't have as much money. So we should just give up. Frankly, sorry. I didn't expect
striketh.
That reaction.
He striketh. Get the Dr. Doom elements ready, okay? Rawr, rawr, rawr. He's mad on a Thursday morning. But all right, I agree with a lot what you said. That's Instagram influencers. Yeah, it's like, you know, you're rich and stop like throwing it in everybody's face. I think that was legitimate. I mean, people have phones, so they can't they take pictures, and that's you know, so nothing seems
that
natural.
Seemed a little too slick.
I don't. It
that
seems like
a little too slick.
First off, I'm trying to connect dots with this the last few days. I don't know if there's a house there or if somebody's big yacht parked out there is really where they're hanging out, and then that's why they have all these toys with the jet skis and all of that. But I don't. They're bros. That crew there. That's a bro crew for sure. They are definitely the type of like, let's have a drink and play some football. That crew would do that. I don't know if it's that crazy to me. I think it's natural. I'm gonna back you down, Dr. Doom. I think you're wrong on this one.
Rich people frolicking on the beach. Hey, everybody else, eat your hearts out. You're not rich. You're not fit. You don't have access to yachts. You don't have access to jet skis. be miserable while we're pretending to be happy, although we're still secretly miserable too, or we wouldn't feel compelled to do this to make ourselves feel better while also making the rest of you feel bad. On that happy note, it's PFT Live. We're here on Peacock, Sirius XM85, Sky Sports Action, and podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. We were talking before the show about the news generally, and life is also easier if you ignore the things happening in the world. But the one thing that keeps forcing its way into my consciousness is everybody freaking out about artificial intelligence, also known as AI.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the current generation's Y2K. Remember Y2K?
Everybody thought
that January 1, 2000, planes were going to fall out of the sky.
Right.
Nuclear missiles were going to spontaneously fire from silos.
Right.
The world was going to end, all because nobody bothered to use full year designations. They used 0, 0, 1, 0, 99, whatever. And it was all a big fat nothing. And I feel like this AI thing is a big fat. I really do. I feel like I have the same reaction to this that I have to crypto, Bitcoin. It's just something that's being hyped up, maybe to get people to engage with the technologies, I don't know, to maybe think you can get ahead of this thing, that you can beat this thing. But I look at it this way. If human beings make these computers, they're supposedly self-aware and gonna kill those who made them. The whole thing, it just makes no sense to me. And while I'm trying to figure it out, that's when the computers are going to take over. And what are they going to do? Burn down my house? Send a drone to take me out? This just doesn't make sense to me. There's just something about it that feels like hype and just like a subtle effort to promote something. I don't know what. It's just weird to me. Fear. You know, the media likes to play on our fears.
Yeah, sure.
And we're part of the media, but we're not part of the media that plays on people's fears as it relates to, you know, a drone hovering over your house and taking you out, remote controlled by AI. Just the whole thing seems odd to me. And maybe I should do some research on it, but I just feel like it's a bunch of hype.
I mean, I don't know much about the – I've seen some headlines and all that. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care either. But I will say, like, it does seem like these damn machines are getting smarter. And it does seem that, like, you know, I think it is scary when, you know, my wife or whoever says something and then all of a sudden she looks on her Instagram feed or your phone and there's, like, you know, ads or something pertaining to that subject. So I don't know. I mean, it is a little scary. I do think we're becoming a little dependent on machines altogether. That's what I will say. I mean, damn, I just was in a car, a bus pulled over, and the 7 cars behind it pulled over because they just went, well, he pulled over, so I'm going to follow him, and they didn't realize it was pulling over on the side of the road. But then as I go by the cars, guess what everybody in the car's doing? They're sitting there like this, and I'm like, hey, idiots, look up and enjoy the world. He's parked, and you're behind him. You just followed him there. So I don't know. There's my rant. I'm Dr. Doom now. Look what you're doing to me.
Well,
look what you're doing.
That's not artificial intelligence.
I know it's not.
That's
non-intelligence. Idiot. Right. Exactly.
But I think of it this way. And as to your point about the ads, somebody sent an email earlier this week that simply listening to our show the day we were talking about alarm clocks, simply listening to the show,
it popped up,
resulted in serving up of advertisements based on alarm clocks. And this person had never thought about, talked about, considered alarm clocks at all. And this person was getting ads for alarm clocks simply by listening to our show on his phone.
That's where I don't get.
This is the very basic visceral reaction I have to all of this. Every computer algorithm we have, every computer program, like somebody has to write the code. Somebody has to activate this thing. So at what point does the thing that has been coded by someone who knows how to properly put instructions into the machine to make it work, at what point does the machine say, we'll take it from here? You have programmed me so well that I can now program myself and I can now think for myself, and I'm now going to take over all of the various nuclear command centers and wipe out civilization by firing all the missiles. Like, I don't know how we get to there from here. And you mentioned
John Connor. You got to watch out for John Connor, man.
Did you say it? There's a great documentary out there. It's called Terminator
2. It's true. Watch out for it.
I wonder how much of the fact that the Terminator movies were so popular just has us all anticipating this day when Skynet takes over. I really Anyway. Right. Anyway, on that,
well, yeah, I did not think this. I mean, we Dr. Doom on a bunch of happy guys on a beach, and then down an AI tunnel. I did not expect that on my Thursday morning, aka my Friday.
This is opposite of Dr. Doom on the AI. What I'm saying about Dr. Doomish stuff on the AI is don't be Dr. Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
get
freaked out about this.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
I think my gut tells me pasta and meatballs. This is all overblown. This is Y2K part two. Let's just live our lives and let's not assume that these things are going to become self-aware and just kind of take over the world. And if they do, I mean, so what? You know, somebody's got to run the world. Maybe if these machines are so smart, maybe they're smarter than the people that we have in position to run the world.
Well,
that's debatable. You, our great computer overlords. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get to it. There's not as much happening today as there has been all week long because the league meetings are over. Everybody has gone home, yada, yada. And it's funny, when the years we've been there, and by the way, we weren't there this year if you didn't know, but the years we've been there, you see the long line of limousines, the black SUVs all there ready to whisk away the owners to the long line of private jets at the local airport to whisk them back to their destinations. But when it's time to get out of there, they get the hell out of there. So everybody's gone. World is back to normal, at least as far as the NFL is concerned, as normal as it ever is. Let's go through some of the rule changes that were and weren't made, because there was so much other news coming out of those 3 days in Phoenix that there's some significant things that were done and that have not yet been done, but may be done, that need to be explored, Chris. Let's start with the decision to vote down the rule proposal that would make roughing the passer reviewable. Now, I was told during the 2022 season, when roughing the passer / nothing the passer was being called incorrectly and it was a big controversy, that there definitely would be a proposal to make it reviewable. And there was. The problem is, didn't get the 24 votes. It was proposed by a team, so it has less of a shine, less of an official seal of approval, or imprimatur, as Peter King would say, and maybe will say tomorrow. So it doesn't feel as compelling when it doesn't come from the competition committee, but still, it landed on the desk of the owners, and they decided not to pass it. And I'm not surprised at all, Chris, because this roughing the passer, nothing the passer, is the way to keep quarterbacks healthy, whether we like it or not. They believe this is how they keep quarterbacks healthy, so they have compelling games, so people tune in, so they can boast how many millions are watching these games, and they can make more money from the sport. It's that simple.
I agree with everything you say. I'm with you. I'm not shocked either. I'm not. I mean, it's totally – I understand where they're coming from, I guess. I don't know if I really understand where they're coming from. I guess I knew or expected this outcome is what I expected. That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, I mean, first off, I understand we want the quarterbacks and all that, but it's just – it's gone too far, like we've said. We've chopped off a leg of, like, oh, wait, we're a defensive
for
coach.
For who, though? Well, gone too far for who?
You've built the teams that are built around defense, right? I know. Well, what do I want to say for not for them is I want to go – what I want to do to them is go – tell me when this was a problem in the history of the NFL with the quarterbacks being hurt and nobody watching TV to watch the games. At what point did that ever happen? Never. It's an overcorrection of a correction of bullcrap. That's what it is. It's a bunch of people who didn't play football who just look at numbers and go, well, I want to protect him. I don't know. This guy got hurt. I don't know. It's overdone. And, you know, I know there's the competition committee looked at it and said, what, 3 out of the 80 calls, right, they found that weren't roughing. You know, within that, too, I want to ask, like, well, what do you mean? In the context of the rules how they are now, that only 3 were? Because, like, you know, I know that touching the quarterback's head is a penalty, but if it's with the fingertip, it's not really a penalty. We got to, like, go beyond that. So I'd like to know the context of that, too. See, they like to throw these numbers out there sometimes, and the context gets lost. And that's where I don't buy into it all the time.
But they want it to be lost. They didn't want it to be,
I know,
to be anything other than what they wanted to tell us.
You're
just
right.
Like the Thursday night
you're
stuff.
Right.
Once they come to the conclusion, hey, the injury rate's no different if we have 7 days between games or if we have 3 days between games. So that's not a factor. It's not an issue. Let's move on to the next thing. We get what we want. And they want this. This is what they want. They want to be able to say they're doing everything they can to protect the quarterbacks. And we see it all the time. We see it when they're in the pocket. We see it when they run. We see it when they get hit along the sideline. We see it when they hit, when they get hit, when they slide. They have an oversensitivity to protecting the quarterbacks because they believe that when you start losing quarterbacks for extended period of time, you start having less attractive games, you start having a smaller audience than you otherwise would have. And for a league that is never proactive about anything, I guess I can't say that anymore. This is the one thing they're proactive about. Quarterbacks in bubble wrap, quarterbacks healthy at all costs, quarterbacks available to play in these games so we can say, Jeff Bezos, we delivered your $12.5 million or whatever it is that you feel compelled to have on Amazon. And all the other networks, too. I mean, they're trying to cater to NBC with this. They want us to have good games. They want all the games to be good. They want all the games to be as good as they can be because they want the quarterbacks to be healthy. Never mind the other positions. They don't care about the other positions as much as they care about the quarterback position. It's about preserving the health of the quarterback. And look, they can say it's an inherent, and it is an inherently vulnerable position when you're going against the grain of the rush.
Sure.
You're stepping into the face of all these guys who are trying to get you. I get that part of it. But they are overly sensitive to it. And that's their reasoning. We can reject it. We can agree with it. We can not agree with it. We can do whatever we want. It doesn't matter. They've made this decision. So it doesn't surprise me why they won't make roughing the passer reviewable. They want that when in doubt, throw the flag. They don't want to stop the game to potentially pick up a flag and correct a mistake because I think they want to take just enough steam out of the pass rush. Like we talk about, they let Lane Johnson always leave early and other tackles leave early. Right, to neutralize how good the defenses are right now. They're trying to give the offense an edge. That's why they didn't take away the push the quarterback rule, which they still should have taken away because the quarterback's going to get injured. They don't realize that part, but it helps the offense. Let's help the offense. Let's make it easier. Let's keep the offense on the field. Let's score points. Let's make it exciting. That's what they want. So
I know.
Just don't want those quarterbacks injured.
I get it. But, you know, you're never going to be able to, like, avoid it totally, right? I mean, you're not. We see injuries. It doesn't matter. I mean, Patrick Mahomes got hurt on the quarterback sneak a few years ago, had to miss games, you know. It's not totally avoidable. I know they can help it. And my biggest problem is this, just bottom line, is the league is going to eventually get hurt by this because the better team, they're going to have some instances where better teams are going to lose because some referee deemed it, oh, you hit the quarterback too hard. And they just got unlucky that week that they got that referee and then the week before. This is still a problem. You know, they could say all they want, but it's the number one complaint I get from any coach when I talk about anything in this. And it's like what Sean Payton said earlier this week. You know, so some of the things are being said the right way, but it's inconsistent as hell. And we're going to see games like that game, right? We just showed the highlight for. I don't know if the Chargers win that game if they don't call that roughing the passer on Jalen Phillips. That wasn't roughing the passer. It was just tackling the quarterback. You know, so that's where we're going to get to a big moment here at some point in football history. And the team that shouldn't have won is going to win and be in the Super Bowl because it was illegal touching the quarterback too hard. And that's where I guess I get
They don't
mad.
Care.
I know.
They don't care.
Yeah.
There was already
well,
a
don't
team
tell
in the
me
Super
how they care. They're going to care when it's like Derek Carr gets in the championship game and it's not Patrick Mahomes. And then they're going to go, damn. You know, Chris Jones barely touched Derek Carr in that game, and now Derek Carr's in the championship game because we went overboard, and the ratings and the money would have been better if Mahomes was in it. So that's what I would say to them too, but I know. I'm angry about this subject.
Well,
I don't like it.
That's a micro analysis. They're looking at it more macro. They're willing to accept the possibility of a bad outcome.
Yeah.
Like I was saying.
Yeah.
We already saw a team get to a Super Bowl that had no business being there. The Rams had no business going to Super Bowl 53, and they went. And you know what? There's no asterisk on it. Nobody cares. Park Avenue doesn't care. I mean, this is the best example to push back against the idea that the NFL cares who makes it to the Super Bowl, cares who wins these playoffs games. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care about specific teams winning or losing. They have broader objectives that may influence winning and losing.
Yeah, right.
But they don't care specifically. They may have bad rules, bad policies, bad ideas that hurt a given team in a given spot. But it's like any other bad rule. it can cut both ways at any time. The rule I hate, the North Korea rule, as you call it.
Yeah.
Right? One of the reasons why there's never a push to get rid of it, every team it screws.
Yeah, it helps.
Another team it helps.
Yeah.
Well, here's... And I've heard there's a real dynamic, and I think we've talked about this before. When there's some screwy rule out there that burns a team, that team has, some of those teams will have a disinclination to try to change that rule because they think we're due to have the other side happen.
Yeah, sure.
Next time around, we benefit from it. So there's a anyway, my point is this. They don't care about the possibility of the wrong team advancing to the Super Bowl in one given year.
Right.
They care about week one through week 18, primetime games, always having the best quarterbacks available so they can throw their chest out the next day about how many million people watch the game. Yeah. That's it. It's that simple.
Yeah, I know. Obviously. Because the Super Bowl, there's probably three plays where the quarterback gets hit in the head and they don't call it. So I guess you're right. It's just week one through 18 and then the playoffs come and then they don't care anymore. That's the other thing that bothers me. There's it's not called in the playoffs all of a sudden. Guys getting driven to the ground. I mean, Mahomes had a third down completion, right? Remember in the game? Jordan Davis is tackling him. He hits him in the head twice on the same play. I mean, one is literally a left hook to his face. It doesn't get called in that moment. That's where I just think it's inconsistent. I know your points are right. I was hoping I could drag you down and get you mad and get angry about this as well. But... you know, North Korea. No, I burned up
all my anger on the beach party, the beach football. Okay, but here's where good coaching comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
You adapt to the reality. You accept the reality, and this is the difference between Max Crosby and Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa blows a gasket in a playoff game because he's being held.
Right.
Oh, what a shocker. They let offensive linemen hold the superior athletes who are trying to get to the quarterback and hit them and possibly hurt them. Not that they're trying to hurt them, but you get my point.
Yeah.
They let the offensive linemen leave early. So after a game of dealing with offensive linemen getting into his pass block set early and holding Joey Bosa, Joey Bosa has a tantrum.
Yeah.
Max Crosby reacted to it a couple of weeks later,
right,
saying, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So the coaches have to adapt. They have to come up with something around, you know, the quarterback push play. That's the rule. That's the way it is. So the defenses have to come up with a way to deal with it. That's just the way it is. So I think huffing and puffing about it, these coaches need to figure out how to maximize their advantage within this environment.
Well, I'm glad you're going down this road. That's the exact I think that's part of the problem, though. Some of them are being coached the right way. We can go through a number of plays last year where you go, no, like the Chris Jones, Derek Carr play. He landed on his own all four and didn't touch Derek Carr. He did everything right. They called the penalty and almost lost the game because of it. Right? They taught him the right. I'm just saying there's a lot of instances of being taught the right way and it still gets called wrongly. That's where I'm saying. That's where it's gone overprotecting a little bit. But I get it. I understand your point. I know quarterbacks are important. But I guess I'm old school a little bit. And I just am part of quarterbacks getting hit is part of the problem, part of the game. That's the way
Let's take it a step farther. Let's take it a step farther, though. Okay. So there are situations where the defensive lineman does everything right, or the linebacker, whoever's blitzing, whoever gets to the quarterback,
right,
and applies a clean legal tackle and still gets flagged.
Yeah.
So then the challenge becomes for the coach, do we, you know, it's almost like the Patrick Mahomes approach. Don't blitz him. Don't waste your time. He's going to run away from it. You're better off dropping into coverage. Like maybe the adaptation to this reality is I'm just going to drop my guys into coverage. I'm not even going to rush.
I know.
I'm not going to rush as aggressively as I have in the past.
Right.
And I'm going to tell my guys when you get to the quarterback, wrap him up like Pro Bowl rules.
Right.
Right? Well,
yeah.
Don't even hit him.
Right.
And don't even hit him.
The league.
Just get
the league,
to him and just get to him and grab him.
That's right. And the ratings in the league will start to go downhill in a major way. A major way. It'll change. Yeah,
it'll
become 7-on-7 football. People won't watch it if it goes too far. They're dancing on a fine line here. They won't. It's like you just said with the Pro Bowl. It's great ratings compared to other sports and all that. But for football, the real football fans say, this sucks. I'm not watching this crap. All right? So that's what's going to happen. They better watch out.
I think they're willing to take that risk.
I know they are.
Having Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow.
I know. I don't get it, though. That's where I don't get it. I want to be like, I grew up in the 80s and the rules were way worse and it was Elway and Marino and the playoffs every year and this was never a problem. It's never a problem. It's never – Manning and Brady somehow survived and Favre and everybody else. But all of a sudden now we're going to make sure quarterbacks play till they're 49 years old and throw for 6,000 yards every year and the defense never makes a stop. And quarterbacks throw into triple coverage and nobody blocks, but it doesn't matter. It's a first down. Offense, offense, offense. And that's where it drives me crazy.
Put a pin in that thought because I have another reason that will become apparent later in the show.
Okay.
For why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay.
But I understand. I agree.
Yeah.
You are far too young to be doing the whole get off my lawn thing. I'm the one who's supposed to be doing it. You're not the one that's supposed to be saying, back in my day, we walked through 3 feet of snow to school, right. 2 miles each way, uphill both ways. That's for me to do.
Okay.
Get off my lawn, Chris. You're stealing my bit. They're going to start playing the piano for you, not for me. All right. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, and this is an area where it can, even though it didn't affect the ratings, it resulted in a lot of people saying, why am I watching this crap when the 49ers were down to no quarterbacks? Well, they were down to Brock Purdy, who couldn't throw the football. It was either him or Christian McCaffrey taking snaps after Purdy and Josh Johnson were both injured in the NFC Championship. And let me do a quick history lesson. Once upon a time, the rule was you had 45 guys in uniform. You could dress a 46th only if that 46th player was a quarterback. Third quarterback, the emergency quarterback, the player who could only play in the first three quarters if the first two were injured. And let me state it more accurately. If that quarterback made an appearance in the first three quarters of the game, the other two could not return. It was presumed they were too injured to play. Fourth quarter, you were allowed to use the third quarterback at will. At some point, and it was about a decade ago, teams decided, why don't you just let us pick which guy we're going to make the 46th player? Let's just have a 46-man roster. If we choose to make that third guy a quarterback, so be it, or otherwise we can do something else, another backup tackle. We can do an extra defensive back, depending upon the game. Another receiver dresses that day, running back, whatever. And so most teams, if not all teams really, unless you go into the game with a starting quarterback who has an injury concern, isn't dressing three quarterbacks.
Right.
And you're rolling the dice. You're taking the risk, the calculated risk, that you're not going to need to get down to your third quarterback. And as Mike McCarthy said during his tenure as coach of the Packers, this was years ago. It was either McCarthy or Ted Thompson, but I think it was McCarthy. As to why they didn't have three quarterbacks on the roster, his point was, if you get down to your third quarterback, you're pretty much screwed anyway. And I don't necessarily believe that as it relates to having the ability to get that third quarterback ready to play on a Sunday. But if you get down to the third guy on a Sunday who's had limited reps, limited prep, he's not the guy you're getting ready to play. If he's got to go in there, yeah, it's probably not going to be very good. But at least it's better than having no quarterback at all. So what they want to do now is go back to having that third quarterback. They want to have a 47th guy now who dresses, who would be the third quarterback. That was tabled. There is reportedly a lot of support for it. I suspect it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And probably what will happen is they'll do it for a while, and then they'll say, hey, just let us put anyone we want in that 47th uniform, and we'll be right back where we were.
Well, I mean, I think so. You know, a little bit, you know, obviously it hurt the NFC Championship game. Yes. But, you know, one of the reasons this whole thing started to, wait, three quarterbacks, wait, let's just go to two, was because of our prior conversation. Because teams started to go, wait, well, quarterbacks don't really get hurt anymore. You can't even hit the quarterback. Why, we don't need three of them. Let's just dress two of them. Doesn't matter. The guy getting hurt, what do you mean? They blow in his ear. They get a penalty. He's not going to get hurt. So teams started to get a little gutsier and riskier with that subject. But I do like the aspect. I know they tabled it, but I like the aspect of the 46th guy. Then, hey, 47th guy, sure, third quarterback. You're right. But, you know, for now and in the current environment, yeah, let's just keep that 47th guy the third quarterback for just in case, just like you talked about. You know, wow, yeah, we want to keep the quarterback for ratings and TV and all that. That game still, you could say what you want. Yeah, I don't, you know, the 49ers probably don't win with a third-string quarterback. But the game probably would have been more competitive. We would have been like, oh, wait, they can actually throw a pass here. So the Philly has to call a defense to stop the pass, right? I mean, that we got to a point in the third quarter where we were like, whoa, it's third and eight, and they're going to run the ball up the middle. I mean, that's there's nothing they can do. So that's where it'll change a little. I hope it does pass. And I was actually shocked to see it tabled, Mike. I thought it would pass right away.
Well, and I think at the end of the day,
yeah,
if you dress that 47th guy, it creates additional
money,
financial.
I know that's where I was about to go.
The owners,
yeah,
it's somebody else getting a roster,
a game day
bonus
roster
for
right.
being active that day,
right?
Exactly,
yeah.
And yes, there is some cheapness floating around. Even though everyone is making a ton of money, they still want to keep a lid because you could say, hey, you got 53 guys on the roster, just put them all in uniform,
yeah,
like just dress them all if they're healthy. So that is where it's moving, and they're using this one example. This one occasion where the planets lined up and knocked out two quarterbacks
yeah.
in the same day.
Right.
And it was an embarrassment to the league to have more than half or roughly half of a significant postseason game marred by a team that was completely one-dimensional on offense, because when they put Purdy back in, he couldn't throw because of that elbow injury that he suffered. And then Johnson left with a concussion, and that was that. So I was joking around about it because we were debating it within the PFT writers text chain. Because again, my point is, if you get down to your third quarterback, you're screwed.
Yeah.
In a given game, why don't they do the thing they did in hockey? Remember right before the pandemic, one of the big stories in sports was the guy who drives the Zamboni at one of these professional hockey games and is also just the emergency goalie who's hanging around in case either team needs him. He's just there. Like, how about just have a quarterback who's just there? One guy who's just like the backup referee, just have a backup, unattached quarterback. And I'm kidding.
Yes.
But I'm kind of not. Just have that guy at every stadium. And then if you have this emergency option, you break the glass and you say, hey, quarterback, put on the uniform and you go play, because we need somebody who can actually throw a football. It doesn't matter if you don't know the offense. It doesn't matter if you don't know the players. We just need someone who can throw. And again, I'm kidding, but that's basically what it is. It's the emergency. Oh, crap. This game is going to be unwatchable. Let's hold our audience together by having a third quarterback available. And for that reason, I think they're going to pass it. It's just a matter of time. But my point is this.
Yeah.
Any team that wanted to have a third quarterback in uniform could have. The 49ers could have.
Right.
Any team could. But they're betting that it's not going to be a situation.
Yeah.
And it's not a situation until it is.
Right.
And then it's a huge mess.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
One of the other safety-related issues that's been hanging around for years. And this goes back to the first time it ever came up. And the commissioner knows how to throw ideas out there that eventually become rules. Now, sometimes his ideas come to fruition within 6 weeks, like his effort to get Thursday night flexing. Others linger for a while. 2012, December, Time Magazine cover story. The enforcer. Remember that one?
Yeah, I did.
Roger Goodell's standing there holding the football. He's right. The enforcer. In that article, he talks about the idea that Greg Schiano, then the coach of the Buccaneers, had.
Right.
Because Schiano was at Rutgers when Eric LeGrand suffered the catastrophic injury on the kick return. That's when they started the whole process of, we have to do something about the kick return. The kick return is too dangerous. Kevin Everett, back in 2007, the neck injury he suffered while playing for the Bills. Right. They avoided the worst-case scenario with him, but that was, you know, the idea of two guys running at full speed. You dip your head at contact, a lot of pressure on that C4, C5 area, bone fractures, spinal cord impinged, you have a serious injury. The idea of an onside kick alternative, get rid of the kickoff, just put the ball on the 20, and as the onside kick alternative, you use a play where the kicking team puts its offense on the field for fourth and something, fourth and 15, fourth and 20, fourth and 25, whatever it is. And if you convert, you keep the ball, it simulates recovering an onside kick. That continues to be proposed. That continues to not be adopted. But at least this time it was tabled. It was tabled. And, you know, they're watching the XFL, and I think the USFL uses this too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're
right. I quite possibly am. But, you know, this is the way, and this is what the commissioner said back before Super Bowl 48 when he was on CNBC and he was asked, who do you root for? He said, I root for the team that's trailing. This is a way for the team that's trailing to stay in the game when it's down multiple scores. Onside kick, not as effective as it used to be, although they've tweaked the rules a little bit to make it more effective than it was
it's closer.
A few years ago.
Right.
But this is a scrimmage play. See, they want to legislate the special teams out of the game because they view kicks and punts now as inherently and unreasonably dangerous. So this is a way to get that onside kick out of the game where you have bodies crashing together. Let's just run a scrimmage play, a normal play. And if you convert it, you keep the ball and you can go down and you can get another score and win the game or tie the game or whatever.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. They've made the proper adjustments in that department with the onside kick. It's no longer looks or deemed like dangerous. They've changed some of those rules about what can be done there and all that to where, you know, again, I didn't look up the numbers here. Maybe I should have, but just off the top of my head, I don't remember seeing anybody get hurt on an onside kick the last few years. You know, so maybe I'm wrong, and if I am, I'll stand corrected, and I'll correct myself when I figure out those numbers. But then the other part of it is, Mike, is like there's two things that jump out there. You know, one, you know, the commissioner before Super Bowl 48, who's ever losing thing. You know, we've had this conversation before. At some point, hey, the team that's dominated the game and winning the game should be winning the game, period, period. You know, again, here we go into we're going to change the game. And what we're going to, I mean, we're going to get close to it's NBA basketball here. Like you always talk about, like you always said that your dad said, just tune into the last few minutes and you'll figure out NBA basketball. Football's getting scary like that already. You know, we were already seeing the team that's winning gets no calls. The team that's losing starts to get calls. And now we're going to add this. And then, you know, I don't like this other aspect of the rule as well. If it does happen, is it, of course, is going to favor teams with the great quarterbacks. I mean, or the high octane passing teams. Oh, wait, now the 49ers who were built through the running game and amazing. Wait, it's fourth and 20 for them. But you get Patrick Mahomes, he gets 4th and 20? Yeah. The Chiefs are going to be way more comfortable with 4th and 20 than the 49ers are with Brock Purdy, who are built around McCaffrey and speed sweeps and reverses. That's where I don't think that's an equal playing field there. So that's where I don't love the idea of the 4th and 20 thing, Mike. You agree with me there? What do you think?
Well, I don't disagree with you. Look, I would be in favor of using 4th and 20 as the entire kickoff play, because there's so many different things you could do with it. You punt instead of kick off. But now the problem is they're concerned about the punt being dangerous. I don't know how much of this is managing liability versus not scaring away parents from having their kids play football.
I don't know either.
Like, this is a dangerous play, and we're trying to take catastrophic injuries out of the game. We're trying to reduce unnecessary concussions. And the less that guys are crashing into themselves in unnatural plays that they don't do all the time. And this gets back to roster construction. And this is one of the decisions coaches have to make when they decide who gets a uniform. Hey, I've got a right guard who's banged up, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to make it through the game. So I need to dress his backup today instead of a guy who's one of my core special teams players who otherwise doesn't contribute on offense or defense. And that backup guard's going to have to take his spot on special teams. So you get guys out there, and they're fish out of water sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not a play that gets run nearly as often as a scrimmage play. So they want to get these. It's the combination of the forces that apply, very basic Newtonian stuff here, when you've got two different teams going right at each other, running right at each other, like, you know, on a battlefield, like everybody just starts yelling and screaming and running right at each other. That's far less controlled than a scrimmage play.
Right.
They're trying to take that part out of the game. And right or wrong, they're trying to minimize it. And it was the kickoff. And look at all the things they've done to the kickoff to make it less relevant. How often do we see an exciting kickoff return? You know, the idea was, hey, this kickoff play is really dangerous. Can we make it safer? Let's just come up with a situation where it happens less often. Let's just have fewer kickoff returns. It becomes safer if we just have less of them. But it exacerbates the problem that I'm just mentioning. It's not a familiar play. Guys don't learn how to run that play in a safe way because they don't do it enough.
Right.
That's the thing they continue to wrestle with.
Yeah.
Whether it's onside kick, whether it's punt, and that's the other thing they're getting into. And they've voted down a proposal, and plenty of people are happy about this, to make the touchback on a punt a ball that goes to the 25-yard line. They tabled a proposal on kickoff fair catches inside the 25 to go to the 25, because remember, when they made the kickoff touchback the 25, you had teams strategically, and you still do, strategically kick short to try to pin them inside the 20. If the touchback is the 25 on a kickoff, if the ball even touches the end zone, it's at the 25.
Yeah,
you don't have
right.
to catch it. You don't have to field it.
Right.
Used to be live ball bouncing around in the end zone.
Right.
Now, hits the end zone, you get it on the 25. They want the college rule where you could stand at the 5, call a fair catch, you get it there, ball's at the 25. They tabled that one. They voted down this idea of making the punt touchback the 25, but this is all part of creating an incentive to not launch a return play if you're the team that could just take the ball at the 25 and be done with it. It gets back to the point they want to have fewer of these plays because they think the fewer we have, the fewer the opportunities for someone to suffer a serious injury. It's that simple. It's that basic. And a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to this stuff. I understand they've done a great job, you know, making adjustments on that play. You know, and I think, you know, to your point, if they make the touchback thing the 25, that, yeah, it'll basically wipe out the play altogether for the most part. I mean, it really will. Yeah, you're not going to see any of that anymore where we try to kick it inside the 5 or the 8-yard line and, you know, kick a high one to where now we can tackle them at the 18, 19, 20-yard line and save ourselves a few yards. Yeah, I think that'll end that totally. So, you know, if that's what they want, then the 25-yard line touchback thing, well, that'll get it done.
Somebody in a position of influence told me yesterday that if they're going to do that, if they're going to let you throw your hand up and catch the ball,
then don't even waste your time. Just put the ball at the 25.
It's a ruse. Like, just put the ball at the 25.
Exactly right. That's what
Why
I was going to say.
These don't players
even,
out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why make them run down and pull a hamstring or whatever? Just put the ball at the 25 and let's go. I know.
I think one of these spring leagues, I think the AAF, remember the AAF 4 years ago?
Right.
I think they just put the ball at the 25 or the 20 or something like that. But they also had, if you were trailing, you could do the scrimmage play to try to catch up with 4th and 15 or 4th and 20 or whatever distance they used. Now, another concern that was raised yesterday, and this is intriguing. The question is, and a study is being done, and I have a feeling that whoever sets the parameters of the study is going to get whatever outcome they want. But the question has been raised, are these enhanced injuries on kickoff returns and punt returns, are they a product of the nature of the play, or are they a product of the surface on which the game is being played?
Mm.
And at least for now, there's an effort to press pause and say, wait a minute, are we changing the rules of the game in lieu of just simply changing the playing surface? Are we being so cheap about not putting in proper functional grass fields that are softer and that are safer? There hasn't been a single player who's ever come out and said, I prefer artificial turf. They
Never.
All say it.
Not one.
They all say, we want grass
right.
because it's grass over dirt. It's artificial turf over cushioning, over concrete.
Right.
They prefer to play on grass to a man. They prefer to play on grass. And if the truth is that the injury rates during kickoff and punt returns are higher on artificial turf versus grass, maybe that's a way to not fundamentally change the game, but also make it safer. And that's the one. At some point, this roving eye of how do we make the game safer? How do we make the game safer? Oh, we're going to call roughing the passer more aggressively than ever before. Oh, we're going to minimize the kickoff. Oh, we're going to minimize the punt. Oh, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to do that. At some point, you have to say, we're getting rid of artificial turf, and we are requiring these teams to have real grass and to do it the right way, to not have the slip and slide we saw at Super Bowl 57.
Right.
I'm told the commissioner told his constituents at the meetings that, well, the players were wearing the wrong shoes. That was the excuse for it. Not the various issues that we've seen and the idea that before the game, somebody said, hey, you know, before the game, it looked like somebody was out there playing golf repeatedly, just divots everywhere before the game. Like, yeah, I knew this was going to be a disaster.
Right.
I'm not saying bad grass field.
Well, I'm saying that's good grass field. Exactly. The shoes weren't the problem. I mean, we had Andy Reid tell us straight up that the equipment guys did a great job. They got the right shoes, thank God. They were still slipping. It didn't matter. You know, you got 300 and 250-pound men on a golf course. It wasn't ready for this kind of, you know, environment or people. So that's, you know, that's a bunch of BS, that comment, that's for sure.
So, but the point is, because that becomes kind of, look, the NFL didn't intend it this way, and the joke that I made during the Super Bowl was, hey, you want grass fields? Here's your grass field. We got your grass field right here.
Yeah.
But that becomes the pushback now. When I say grass fields safer than turf, the response is, oh, what about Super Bowl 57? Well, that's what happens when someone's got their head up their ass as they're getting the field ready.
Right.
So my point is this.
And nobody was hurt in that game? I mean, that's all I want to say, too. Nobody was hurt in that game, were they? I don't remember an injury the whole game.
Well, but still, you said, I mean, that's just
it was slippery.
The grace of God when guys are slipping and sliding like that.
Yeah.
The point is this, and hopefully they do a fair, open-minded examination of this question. Do you make kickoff and punt return plays safer if you just say, we're playing all these fields on grass. All these games are going to be grass. Everybody has to have grass. It's going to be expensive. So what? We can all afford it. We all have the money. And it's in the best interest of the players. It's in our own best interest. The one thing, I mean, I know we've said this so many times, I can't remember how many times
exactly.
We've said it.
Right.
The multi-million dollar investment they made in these players, and they aren't hypersensitive about who cares. Even if you don't care about these players as human beings, and I would submit to you that some owners do and some owners don't. Even if you don't care about them as human beings, don't you care about your own investment enough that you'd want to be sure that they're as healthy as they can possibly be?
Right.
It's ludicrous to me. So maybe this is a way to break that logjam once and for all. Or what's going to happen is, you know, the teams with the owners who are willing to spend the most money, the Walton Penner Group, they spent several hundred thousand to put in a new grass field for one final regular season game last year.
Yeah.
One final game. They weren't happy with how the grass was performing. They put in a new field the number was several hundred thousand dollars. Owners like that are going to thrive. And the ones who are cheap, that won't do it, that say we're playing on artificial turf and our field's fine. Nothing to see here. Our field's fine. You're going to suffer the consequences for it eventually.
Definitely. Well, we know that there's already one certain artificial turf, right? I can't remember the exact name of it, with the seams or whatever, that does seem more dangerous than the rest. So that's already been documented. So there, right away, we have that. And then, Mike, you said it, right? I mean, there's like, and you're right, we've beat this to death, this subject. We've been way ahead of the curve on this. Yeah, owners, you're going to save money because you're going to have guys that, you're paying $20 million a year that are now in a safer environment and don't, you know, have a non-contact, I put my foot in the ground in my ACL tour, and now you're not getting anything back for the money you're paying the guy, and you're going to have to sign somebody else on the roster now and pay him. So, yeah, that's where I'd go, okay, financially it makes sense for you owners in the NFL. And then, like, no athlete. I mean none. Zero. I've never been around one that would rather prefer to play on field turf over grass. I mean, you can go back to my dad in the 80s. You know where his favorite place to play was? Washington. You know why? Because they've been the only team in the NFC East that had a damn grass field. And his whole team felt like that. All right? So they loved playing Washington and Washington because it was a grass field. All right? I mean, when I was with the Tennessee Titans, if Jeff Fisher or we had a little bit of a weather day and he said, hey, we're going to go in the bubble and be on the field turf, I mean, Albert Haynesworth and Tony Brown and Mike Roos, our offensive tackle, they'd all be like, oh, gosh, I hate that crap. It's not the same. You know, one, it doesn't feel the same when you fall on it. It has a reshock value because of the rubber and the way it's built that makes your legs tired and not feel the same, which also, I think, adds to the ACL issues as well. And then hitting your head on that surface is definitely different than hitting your head on a grass field. There's no doubt. So there's really nothing. There's no reason other than finances of why you wouldn't go to grass. There's no reason. Like we've said, our friends in Europe can appreciate this. All the great soccer players over there, none of them. They're all in their contracts that they don't play on field turf. All of them. So that says a lot, too, and hopefully the NFL can make a change in this department.
This takes me all the way back to 1999. I remember when Hall of Fame defensive tackle Warren Sapp, your former teammate in Tampa Bay, said this: we can send a man to the moon, but we can't grow grass inside. We've got all this technology. It's time for us to put it into play and save some of these careers. That was 24 years ago.
Exactly.
Now, since then, we've seen the systematic removal of the old green cement turf. And if you pull up one of these old games on YouTube, there was a game that I found not that long ago. Oh, I remember when the Steelers got blown out at home week one of 1989, 51-0 by the Browns. I found that game because I just wanted to see how it went so sideways for the Steelers, because that never happens. When you pull that game up, it is like you're watching a different sport from a different time, from a different world. You've got all that slick, flat green with no effort to even make it look anything remotely like grass.
Patched in on the baseball field, right?
Carpet. Yes, yeah. With seams everywhere.
Right.
And you've got grown men wearing Halloween costume uniforms with the flimsy old helmets and the old face mask and big giant pads. It's really something to see. It is a far different look and feel than today's NFL. But that they so good news is they got rid of that stuff that your dad used to get slammed around on.
Right.
But the stuff that took its place isn't safer. It isn't better. There's no replacement for a good grass field. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, some of the news that percolated out of the league meetings that we didn't get around to earlier this week, including whether or not the Lions are truly all in still with Jared Goff. More PFT Live right after this.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free, so you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.